How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best, best, rest chill. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. You can follow me on Twitter at FFStalder. And joined with me today is Theo Greminger. But it seems like he's frozen. Maybe we can get him, you know, back in here. But I'm really excited for Theo to be joining me tonight. We're going to be talking about some best ball tournaments that have dropped here. But in the meantime, Theo is a friend of the podcast. I'm happy that he is able to join me tonight. Let's get him on the stream. Theo, you are here. Happy to have you on. Thanks for making it. Theo Greminger, ladies and gentlemen, is Player Profiler's senior fantasy analyst. He's the head of podcasting, featured co-host on the Sonic Truth, the First Class Fantasy Podcast, the Goat District Podcast. He's an NFFC Silver Bullet runner-up. He's the number one combined standing leader from 2019. Theo, friend of the podcast, thanks for making time for me tonight.
Yeah, no, Bradley, it's my pleasure. I always love talking to you. We podcasted together many times over the years. On multiple podcasts, but I love what you're doing with Best Bell. I've been on Best Bell before. It's just quality stuff you're putting out on the weekly and on the regular. Apologize for the little technical glitch earlier on, but we're back. It was like 30 seconds.
Look at us. Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Theo, we've got some pretty exciting news. If you want to give us, maybe I'll do the drum roll.
Yeah, drum roll all you want, Bradley.
I mean, I don't have it. The sounder
so,
up.
So Best Bell is going to be a programming partner.
There it is. All right, I think Theo is experiencing.
I'm back.
Yeah, why don't you start again?
So Best Bell is going to be a programming partner of Player Profiler. We're thrilled to announce that every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern time, you're going to be able to tune in to Best Bell on the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Bradley, am I back?
I think you're back now.
How far? Okay, so I apologize. I'm having real technical difficulties here, guys. This was unplanned, but I'm thrilled to announce that Bradley's going to be one of our programming partners on Player Profiler. So you're going to be able to tune in to Best Bell on the Player Profiler YouTube channel every Tuesday night. He's going to be right before another programming partner of ours called The Deep End, which is another fantastic podcast. And he's going to be after Player Profiler today. It's really, really exciting for us because we're going to have a wonderful best ball channel like Best Bell, and we're going to be able to partner with a tremendous fantasy mind like Bradley. I mean, you're tuning into this podcast. I don't need to be one to tell you that Bradley is super sharp. And I think that our audience is going to love listening to your insights as well. We're super, super thrilled to have you. And I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome year for both of us.
Yeah, I'm honored that y'all reached out to me and asked if I would be able to join. And we're going to talk some best ball for sure over the course of this hot best ball summer. You know, last summer was hot girl summer. Evidently that was the thing. You know, all the ladies were preparing for it, and 2022 was such a summer. But I think 2023 summer is going to be claimed by best ball instead of the ladies. So, you know, we're going to strap up. We've got some great content in mind, and it's not just for, you know, the seasoned vets. There's going to be something for everybody. There's going to be something for people who want to get into best ball, who really haven't dived into, you know, strategy. Maybe your perspective on players is different because of the best ball tournaments that we're going to be in. And the way it's going to work, every week, we're going to focus on ADP changes in the best ball streets. There's going to be a lesson or a strategy that I'm going to share, whether it's going to be one that's very simple, or maybe we bring on someone, I'll bring on someone that we have an interview with, and we talk about, you know, an expert in the best ball field, aside from myself, who would offer a different insight into, you know, maybe taking down some of these tournaments. I've already started making connections with some big winners in the best ball streets. And then, of course, you know, Theo, I'm going to look to partner with either Jack or the Deep End, see if we can make it a 2-hour special here and there to have some live best ball drafts. I'm sure they would be down for it as well. So
I would love to hear. I would love to hear you and Mike and Adam in a best ball draft. I think that would be fantastic. And yeah, I think that Bradley, you kind of hit the nail on the head where best ball is kind of blowing up. Underdog made it a thing where drafters, Underdog, the FFPC, pretty much any format you play in has a best ball. There's tournament settings, there's individual best ball leagues. And like, I get better by listening to Bradley and his sharp takes on things. And I think that anybody who's trying to become a better best ball player has an opportunity to like learn on this show. There's so much nuance to playing best ball. You don't have to worry about things like waivers, setting your lineup, but the draft and the team structure, that's what it's all about. And I think it's very exciting. And I'm thrilled to hear, you know, some of your guests and some of the things you have planned out, Bradley. I think it's going to be just awesome.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. We've got a lot of exciting content, and there's going to be plenty of it over the course of the summer. So you can expect that Tuesdays, 8 to 9 p.m. on the Player Profiler YouTube channel. Really stoked to be able to get that going. And the first one, Theo, is going to be this coming Tuesday. So make sure that you set your calendars for Player Profiler's YouTube channel, 8 p.m. Okay. You good? We're good? I'm good. I think Theo's frozen. Nevertheless, we do have some pieces of content. Let me. So this was just the recap of the Best Bell Fantasy podcast on Player Profiler. The five things we're going to focus on: ADP changes, a lesson, a guest interview, reviewing a team. Sometimes we're going to bring on a team that's been drafted, identified strengths and weaknesses, like almost doing an analysis. And then
that's a hard one. That's a hard one. That's a hard one, Bradley. If you have to be a little kind with some of your breakdowns of these team analyses, but I think it's awesome.
Look, the reality is that like we see it all the time on our timeline, Theo. We see, you know, these underdog draft screens posted, and you're thinking to yourself, like, man, like I wonder why they took this player, or how did that selection makes sense, you know, and trying to make sense out of how does this structure or these player takes work together. And then there's also a new wrinkle, Theo, in the underdog fantasy tournament that a third of the winnings are now going toward season long winners instead of just the $1 million prize for the best season long winner. I want your immediate take on that. Like, is increasing the regular season prize pool going to make this a better tournament for underdog?
Yes. I mean, I think for me, I like the idea that you're going to get paid by doing very well in your regular season. I think it matters how well you do in a league. Some people want the money really pushed to the back end where you're essentially playing for one massive big prize with some, you know, prizes underneath. But I think it's easier to kind of manage your bankroll and to manage your exposure if you know that, hey, if I pass through this certain level, I'm getting back this much money. And also, Bradley, you've seen time and time again, especially in best ball, where you don't have the luxury of changing your roster, where you get to those playoff weeks and you miss a couple of key cogs and you are just absolutely devastated. When you also talk about the underdog setting where you might go hyper fragile or semi fragile at a position, if that particular position just gets destroyed on your roster, you're at a real disadvantage. So I think that you could kind of go both ways with it. I think for the player that looks at it as a, like, this is money that I'm, you know, essentially it's a lottery for me. I really want to hit the nuts. And if I win that big, big prize, that's it. But you know, I'm okay with losing all of this money, all or nothing approach. They're not going to like this, but I think that the higher volume players, and just the players that are really, really managing a bankroll, I think that they'll appreciate being able to get some of that money back. I think it's a decent change for underdog.
Do you think that it'll change the perspective of fantasy drafters when they're approaching individual player takes? So, for instance, like, I'll expand a little bit and then, you know, I'll buy you time to formulate your thoughts as well. But, like, there's been so much emphasis over the last couple of years on week 17 stacking and correlation, because so much of that money is paid out in week 17 and making it through into the playoffs. Do you think that this format is going to not just strengthen, but, like, increase the importance exponentially of having correct player takes for the season?
I'm not sure, because I think that once people start stacking, like, I think last year people kind of went overboard with stacking, where they were not only stacking for the team, but it became stacking for that correct game. And it was a very unfortunate situation. And, you know, obviously not a tragic one, because we had people getting better and all that, but that Buffalo Cincinnati game, I mean, it was really burned a lot of people in redraft, in dynasty, and also in best ball. So when you put all your eggs into that single game stacking, and then not even the postponed game or the canceled game, but a lot of people were planning on that Chargers Rams game.
Oh, don't even talk to me about that one. Theo, dude, I'm gonna have to go to a therapist for a decade now after that.
Well, you had at least a better shot with that one than the Arizona-Atlanta one. The Arizona-Atlanta one, I remember, like, that was the one where people were like, so, like, that's the sneaky one. And then I remember the one that people were, like, laughing about doing was Seattle versus the Jets. They thought that would be, like, the worst possible one. And you actually had some, like, if you would have stacked a Garrett Wilson with, Lockett and Metcalf and Geno and Ken Walker, you would have felt good about that. So you never really know that week 17 game. I mean, I think we're pretty good about predicting it. I believe it was 2 years ago, there was a Chiefs Bengals game or something like that. So, like, sometimes it's like a low hanging fruit, but then you have to get into, I'm competing with a bunch of players who want to, stack that same game. So I think sometimes we get a little bit too complicated in our best ball builds. And I think that there probably is going to be a little more balance this year. But Bradley, I'll also tell you that not everybody is as meticulous as you are, and not everybody listens to Best Bell or the Goat District or, you know, somebody that's going to keep them on the right path. Some people just sign up for Underdog and they just start drafting.
Well, they're still toilet drafters. They'll just sit on the toilet and just, or as we were talking off air, you know, beforehand, like, some of them just, like, drink. And they'll have, you know, and Theo, you had a great line. It's don't drink and draft, right?
Don't drink and draft. Don't do it. It's we see it. I was talking to Bradley about live drafts, how you'll see it in, like, the FFPC live drafts, where some guy will draft at, like, 10 in the morning and he's good. And then you get down to noon, 3 o'clock, he's done a bunch of drafts, and you can just tell the guy's starting to get a little sloshed. It's a little hot outside in Vegas. Maybe he took a little walk up and down the strip between drafts, and the guy's toast for that last game. And best ball, I think that's something you really nailed, Bradley. Like, the idea of doing a $5 entry or a $25 entry for some people, it's like a price point where they're not, like, this is not like my home league where maybe it's a couple hundred dollars or it's like a high stakes league. It's something where people might sometimes have, like, a throwaway entry. Right. And I think you're more, like, you talked about toilet drafters. parking lot drafters. You know, like you're waiting to go do something and you're doing the slow drafts, you're parking lot drafters. I mean, a lot of
I'm
times
I'm at gymnastics for my girls and I'm just doing a draft on my phone, you know?
That's great. They're like, oh, look at Bradley, father of the year. He's filming his daughters. No, I'm in the 18th round of a best ball draft putting in my pick.
I need to correlate my week 17, you know?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So it's so nuanced. And like, there's so many different ways to build your best ball rosters. There's so many different ways to approach it. And I think that's the really exciting thing where, you know, we've seen last year, Pat Corain won with like a bimodal approach and nobody knew what bimodal was. And now everybody kind of knows that it, and basically if you don't know it, it's, you take the two like main running backs, you don't have to take them the first and second round, but let's say I take two running backs in the first four rounds, then I stop and then I come back to it. So it's, and that was last year. Then 2 years ago, it was the Hero RB strategy.
Right.
Hero RB, you would see it in every best ball and every single like high stakes league. It was Hero RB. That was the way to do it. And Hero RB is probably something you've been doing as a drafter for years, Bradley. It's just, it got a name. Zero RB. We haven't really seen the tight end position be like a super emphasis in best ball, like especially an underdog with the half point PPR.
Right.
But some year, some guy's going to win with two early tight ends, and then people will copy that the following year. So I think it's a little bit copycat.
I doubt that. But, you know, anything can happen, Theo.
You never know.
If you see two Travis Kelce's that exist, you know.
It's going to take 1 year where something odd happens, and, you know, it just kind of changes the strategy. And I think that's one thing is don't be a copycat of the last year, because, like, the one thing that we do in fantasy is we sometimes overcorrect ADPs. You're seeing it this year with, like, the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are you know, those guys are, the big three are fantastic, but those guys are getting pushed to a point where it's crazy how high they're going. And if you're a high volume drafter, you almost have to lean into it, Bradley, because
you have to, or else you're not going to get your stacks. You're not going to be able to correlate. You're not going to be able to get the pieces that we've seen been able to win, frankly. And, you know, and the other thing that you mentioned, Theo, the quarterbacks are getting pushed up. It's King Capital won the regular season for underdog last year, and he had both Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow on his team. So when you have, like, it's all also changing the perspective of quarterbacks and how you're drafting these elite ones, not just that you have to have one, but during the bye week, that was the big shift for King Capital, is that when you were at that point of drafting Jalen Hurts, like, you're saying to yourself, I'm all set. I've got my one quarterback who's going to carry me the whole way. But King Capital, he just saw Joe Burrow fall like an extra round and took him. And it was that week where Hurts was on bye that Burrow went off for 30 something points. And that's the like a 30 point difference between him and like just like a Jimmy Garoppolo replacement level type of quarterback, where, you know, maybe it's that we do need to consider a little more outside of the box thinking of how we're going to attack these onesie positions. Like maybe we do, you know, take these higher level quarterbacks. So getting, pushing them up, having a little different strategy, not copycatting, but being, using information from last year to help make us better drafters, I think is going to be key for us. So that's going to really hit on, I think, number two in this podcast. We're going to have like a lesson where maybe it's a takeaway or something to consider as we're going forward.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And I think that, like, you bring up the two early quarterback strategy, and that's something that I actually discussed this with, like, Billy Muzio and Todd Burrows, is the win rates for two early quarterback were better than you think. It looks like kind of like a, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's doing approach, but you just referenced a Burrow and Hurts. Like, when you have elite production at that position, it can carry it can kind of like cover up for mistakes at others.
Those quarterbacks score so many points. If you look at, like, if a quarterback scores, like, I was looking at top 10 quarterbacks typically score 18 to 20 points.
Yeah.
And your top five quarterbacks are scoring 24 points. And so, like, you're only getting 30 quarterbacks out there. So you're got a 30% chance that you're, you know, if a random quarterback is going to get 20 points for you, that's going to make up for, you know, you mentioned it'll forgive a lot more sins than if you, you know, miss out on a running back or you miss out on, you know, one of your top tier wide receivers. That's going to hurt more.
I think it's interesting too, Bradley, where you bring up when if you take the two early QBs, it also allows you to punt quarterback for the rest of the draft because you can build a two quarterback build. Maybe you that extra wide receiver that you're able to take in round, you know, 10 when other people are trying to cover up their QB2 is the one that kind of pushes you over the edge. It also might open you up to taking an extra tight end. I mean, there's different ways of going about doing this. So when you're going fragile at a position, double tapping early, whether it's tight end or quarterback, I think that's like an interesting approach to the game. And you're able to identify guys that are going to hit. I think the one thing that we're very, very good at in fantasy football is if me and you sat down and we picked the top 12 quarterbacks this year, I think we could probably hit 10 out of 12.
Yeah,
I think we could. But if me and you sat down and we picked the top 12 running backs, we're going to miss on 4 or 5.
We might even miss on 6. We might
miss on 6. Wide receiver, we're okay at because some of those guys are predictive on their, like it's the top 6 wide receivers. We could probably hit 4 of them. But when it comes to quarterback, we know we're pretty good at that. We're also pretty good at predicting the very top of the tight end position.
Like top 5, top 6 tight ends, you know, 5 or 6 of the 6 that we would pick would all be there. It's that 7 through 12 that it's like.
Yeah, 7 through 12, that's an interesting one. That's another show for you is the tight end dead zone. Like those guys rarely hit. You know, attacking that, trying to chase tight end is a difficult one. But quarterback, it's interesting, Bradley. And you bring up like that's the only way to stack. Well, it's also the only way you're going to have exposure to a Jalen Hurts or a Josh Allen or a Pat Mahomes, where if you're doing 30 entries of a $5 tournament on an underdog or you're doing 10 entries of the 25, if you don't have those guys, you're kind of at a disadvantage. And also you see this gravitational pull this year where those three are what they are. But now you start seeing Joe Burrow get sucked into that tier. And then you'll see Justin Fields get pushed up, Lamar Jackson get pushed up, where the guys are starting to all get pushed up. And I don't know if it's necessarily artificial or it's something that makes sense, because if the entire position is getting pulled up at the top three, does it make sense to target those next three? I think that's like some people will probably say no. Some people probably say yes, because if it's not Burrow, Hurts, or Allen hitting as QB1 overall, then QB1 overall probably comes from one of those next three or four. So
I agree.
It's interesting. It's interesting to say, like, is Joe Burrow overdrafted? I don't know. I think initially, my initial reaction was yes, but he does have a path to QB1 overall. Some of these guys that are later on, you just can't see it.
You just can't see it with your quarterback 12s or your quarterback 11, like, or even like, you know, some players will, especially for season long tournaments, like on drafters, they'll go for the Derek Carrs plus the, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo's and like triple stack or throw in a CJ Stroud. And like the pathway for one of them to be, you know, top 8 or top 6 is almost impossible. So in week to week where you're competing, like they just don't have the spike weeks. And one of the pieces of advice that I gave earlier in like, I think that was January, February after King Capital won, was considering the win rates, you know, the quarterback won like top 5 rates, you know, overall, that the Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen's and Patrick Mahomes were like double that of the next tier. And so if you were going to go double, like if you're going Mahomes, Allen or Hurts, like you can go solo quarterback and maybe just like take a shot on an Anthony Richardson. Although, Anthony Richardson 2 weeks ago was going as quarterback 24. Now he's going as quarterback 12 on Underdog Fantasy, Theo.
I mean, Richardson's an interesting one. It's kind of a litmus test.
Do you want to go down that rabbit hole? We can go down that rabbit hole.
I mean, that's a long rabbit hole, but I do think that there's a better chance of Anthony Richardson providing you a spike week when you need it in the fantasy playoffs than a few of the guys right before him and right after him, even at quarterback 12. So it's an interesting rabbit hole. I mean, I think you might be dead and buried with him as a guy is like your QB1 at that point. You might be completely dead and buried, but if you can get through with an Anthony Richardson build, It'll be interesting. You also have the fact of how many starts does Gardner Minshew get?
Right.
How many do you think, Bradley?
My initial reaction after day one was that Gardner was going to start between 1 and 3 games. But then there's been a lot of chatter, Theo, over the last week coming out of the draft that the Colts want to start Anthony Richardson right away, that the only way that he's going to, quote, get better is by actually in-game play. And, you know, I'm starting to think that he is a candidate to start week one. And I think that that very much could be the case. I mean, a week ago, he was quarterback 24 on Underdog. He's now quarterback 12. A week ago, when he was quarterback 24, said he's going to be quarterback 15 or even higher by the summer. The summer's already here, Theo. It's been a week.
We're very quick to react. I think that it shows how big best ball is getting, that
yeah,
we have pre-NFL draft ADP, and then we have post-NFL draft ADP, and it happens so quickly. Mm-hmm. Because you see a lot of people will try to get in and get their values this week, and then they push the market. So I don't know. I mean, I think that it's kind of a, when you draft a best ball team, you have to draft like you're right. And if you're going to draft Anthony Richardson, you know, draft him with confidence and understand the risks. But I think that he provides that ceiling as a rusher where if you can somehow get a 25 passing touchdown season out of him, whether it's as a rookie or a second year, then he's literally in the conversation for QB1 because he's that good of a rusher. I think that he could have 1,000 rushing yards as a rookie. I don't think that's a crazy statement at all. And when you start looking at that sort of a rushing floor, it's even if he struggles as a passer, you're up there.
Right. That's going to be goal line work. It's going to be rushing. It's going to be taking a load off of Jonathan Taylor. Like, I think this is both a give and take for Jonathan Taylor too, because you'll lose some of the goal line, but it's also increased efficiency if teams have to respect the rushing of Anthony Richardson. So maybe he gets longer touchdown possibility, even if he gets slightly fewer touches or slightly fewer passes out of the backfield. And, you know, I had a little more optimism about Jonathan Taylor coming in this offseason because they got rid of Nyheim Hines and they were willing to, you know, dump it off to Taylor because he was more capable pass catcher. But I agree with you. I think Anthony Richardson, to bring it back, has that quarterback one upside. And that's why I was drafting him a lot in the pre-best ball, because he just had the physical tools. And if he landed on the right spot, he did, you know, there is a pathway for him to succeed significantly this first year. And as you mentioned, you draft to be right. You don't draft to hedge. You don't draft to conflicting narratives. Like, you need to tell yourself when you're drafting a particular team, and this is another lesson that you should take away, like those who are new to best ball, like, tell yourself a narrative and tell the story. What fits in with the story? What makes sense for the story? And so if it doesn't make sense, like, why would you contradict it? So
not to get completely off subject, but another great lesson is kind of like a backwards approach with your build, especially in a slim, where Underdog, we spend so much time talking about the best target in round one, round two, round three. You start talking about structural drafting. I think oftentimes people get to the last couple of rounds and they are looking for extreme upside. I think if you stick with Bradley all summer long, you're going to identify guys that can give you a little bit of a floor in those 18th, 17th, 16th round. And sometimes those are the guys that can really push your team through. I mean, having a difference of a guy that might be a zero pointer versus a guy who's going to give you that 11 pointer consistently, I mean, that makes a huge difference, even if you're not seeing the spike weeks. You just need a couple of kind of useful weeks out of those late round picks and you've hit. I think that's another big takeaway for people besides draft, if you're right, I think, is concentrate on your targets for those last few rounds. Have a plan based on your structure. Maybe have a tight end, a wide receiver, and a running back in each of those final rounds that you'd be comfortable drafting, maybe a couple of them. And I think your best ball builds are going to look better if you do that.
Yeah, and rotate through at the end of those rounds. Like you'll have a list of players that you're very interested in and that may be available to you, and just rotate through it to create some diversity. Because, you know, the reality is you're not going to hit on almost any of them, but maybe the one or two that you do, you know, you've got a couple shares of it. And if it hits right, you've got, as Theo mentioned, a nice floor that may be able to give you, you know, even two games. Like, think of like the Josh Reynolds or the Cleef Raymonds of the world. Like, those are the perfect types of last round, like Detroit stacks. Like, if you've got the Detroit stack going very, very late, those are the types of players that, especially with a Jameson Williams, you don't know which one of those guys is going to step up. Or one guy, Theo, that I'm going to throw out here that we'll end with is, unless you've got extra players that you want to throw in, but Darius Davis. The wide receiver out of LA, rookie, just drafted fourth round, special team ace, super speed, but undersized, going undrafted in most best ball drafts. And I mean, he could push Josh Palmer. He could play out of the slot. He could be a situational deep threat. And all you need are 1 or 2 weeks stacking with Justin Herbert for this guy to go off, or even just a special teams touchdown could be the difference in, you know, you winning a week. So consider like those types of players at the end of your drafts.
I love that. And Bradley, you have to feel pretty decent about your Josh Downs shares. The draft capital wasn't good, but I think he's got a path right now. You know, in Indianapolis, they seem to absolutely love him. So I'll give you a little
look. I'll take day two. Like, I thought that he was going to be a top 40 pick, but from what the teams were communicating, they were concerned about his size, but he's still an extremely talented wide receiver out of North Carolina. So, you know, I'm happy with my 25-30% exposure to Josh Downs.
Listen, the parking lot narrative is already there. Stayed at the same hotel as Anthony Richardson. They went out and practiced in the parking lot. I mean, that's the kind of connection you have to put a lot of weight into.
Absolutely. And there's a pathway for him too. Like, Paris Campbell is gone. Michael Pittman is good, but isn't it a contract year for Michael Pittman?
Michael Pittman, like, the thing about Pittman is I could see Pittman potentially getting overdrafted, and you know, he's the kind of guy where it's going to be difficult for him to return a lot of value as the wide receiver one there. There's the argument that a rookie quarterback will have tunnel vision, but I don't know. I think they like Downs. I think that stylistically for a run-first offense where the quarterback is a rushing threat, I think that they're going to have to target Alec Pierce downfield a little bit.
Yes. I don't think Alec Pierce is particularly good.
No, I don't, but he's athletic, and those deep shots are what keeps the defense honest. Yep. So, like, we've seen Michael Pittman have a 25-28% target share for the last 2 years.
Yes.
Like, if he stays with that same target share in this offense, it's going to be hard for him to return value. And if it slips down to like a 22% target share with less chances of him dominating red zone work, because you got to think that Taylor gets slightly elevated in the red zone, even though he loses a little value as a receiver, and Anthony Richardson himself is a massive threat in the red zone. I don't really think that offense is going to be one where they're going to get into the red zone and it's let's get the ball in Pittman's hands every single time. I think it's going to be,
Let's run.
Yeah, and take a little risk off the rookie who's a little inexperienced as a passer. So I don't know, Bradley. I think you might be onto something with Josh Downs. I think there's a chance.
Well, and there's no tight ends. Like, who else is in the middle of the field? It's going to be – we have questions about Mo Alley-Cox. I don't even know. Jelani Woods is a sleeper, but
– Jelani Woods will be a touchdown-dependent sleeper, but I think he's interesting because he's got the size as a blocker in this offense. And – you know, the tight end position is so gross that if Jelani Woods catches 6 touchdowns this year, then he's kind of a thing. So I don't know. It's interesting. Richardson's also kind of fun because you don't have to stack him. You don't have
to
stack him.
You can go naked Richardson.
Go naked Richardson. So that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
All right, Theo. Well, thank you for jumping on today. This has been a lot of fun. Being able to chop it up a little bit, talk about the partnership that Player Profiler and Best Bell Fantasy is going to have. And for those who are, you know, I'm still going to be doing content on this channel, absolutely. But, you know, there is going to be a profiled show every week on the Player Profiler Roto Underworld Network, 8 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays every week. As I mentioned, we're going to go through all things best ball And we're going to have some great guests. We're going to have some great discussions. Feel free to jump into the chat, ask questions, and do our thing. Theo, any other plugs you want to pull?
No, it's, you know, again, it's we're thrilled to have you, Bradley. You can find my work every week on the Sonic Truth podcast with Matt Kelly. I talk Dynasty, and then I talk Redraft with Billy Muzio on First Class Fantasy. I have another podcast coming out called Press Coverage. And then you can find me in the Goat District. I'm there about once a week. Bradley's been in the Goat District. Bradley's had Goat District guys on. That is a great podcast as well. And Goat District will also be a programming partner. They debuted 2 weeks ago. You're going to be able to find them as well. So it's very exciting for us. I think for we're having some of the best podcasts that need a little bit bigger of an audience as programming partners. And I think that it's just so awesome to be able to have guys like you, Adam Krautwurst, Dan Williamson, JD involved with Player Profiler. I think that we're putting out tremendous sharp content, and you guys are going to help us with the YouTube side big time. So we're thrilled to have you, Bradley.
Yeah, well, thank you, Theo. Looking forward to a hot best ball summer here for Player Profiler. All right, on behalf of Theo, I'm Bradley, and until next time, good luck in the best ball streets.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.